This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the NVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango.com, Eric Davis, is going to join me to speak about the latest movie news. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
I heard at one point Martin Scorsese was going to direct a Joker movie and Leonardo DiCaprio was going to be in it. Now I don't know what's going on. What's happening here?
Well, what was going to happen was I think Martin Scorsese was going to produce a Joker movie directed by Todd Phillips, who did the Hangover movies. And Leonardo DiCaprio's name was bandied about originally, and then I think it switched over to Joaquin Phoenix. And kind of where we are right now is in limbo with it. We were told that it was more of like an origin story for the Joker, that it was going to take place in the 80s, maybe a bit grittier, separate from the current DC extended universe, but we're still waiting for an official word on that. But as it stands, the latest is that Joaquin Phoenix was in talks to play the Joker. So we'll see.
You know, I also heard there was going to be a second Joker movie with Jared Leto. Is that true or no?
Yeah, that's another rumor that's happening right now, that Jared Leto is going to do his own Joker standalone movie. So we have multiple Joker standalone movies that are in the works.
Now, will this one, with the Jared Leto one, will that one be part of the DCEU or no?
That would probably be part of the DCEU, yes.
Now, is Batman going to be in any of these movies?
We don't know that yet.
Oh.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right? It wouldn't be much of a movie without Batman.
Yeah. You know, I think that would be smart to have Batman. But I think they like the Joker. They want to try to create a cinematic experience around the Joker by himself, you know, and separate it from Batman. So I think they're trying to get there. It's just a matter of what's the best story to tell, who is going to play the Joker. I am not a big fan of multiple people playing Joker in multiple movies. I think it can get a little confusing. But we'll see. You know, I'm excited. I like the Joker. I think it's a crazy character. And it's just a matter of, is the character worth having a movie centered on him? Or is he better as the foil in a Batman movie, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping at some point Mark Hamill will play a live-action Joker. But that's just me. I mean, I love his voice acting.
He's got a great voice, yeah. He plays the Joker in a really fun way. And that would be interesting to see him as an older Joker, like a menacing Joker. But I don't know. I kind of like him. I like his voice. I don't know, you know, in person, I don't know if he would play as crazy and eccentric. I don't know if he would come off that way, you know?
Now, still saying in the DCU, Wonder Woman 84, is it true that Chris Pine is going to be playing in this movie?
Yeah.
How?
Chris Pine is in it. Yeah, they released an image of him in it, Steve Trevor, coming back. Spoilers for the first Wonder Woman, but he dies at the end of that movie, or so we think he dies at the end of that movie. But here we are in 1984, and that's when this movie is set, and Steve Trevor is in it. So how does that happen is what everybody is wondering. And we're going to see how it happens. You know, does Wonder Woman save him at the last minute? Did something happen at the last minute where he was able to escape and he actually lived? But how does he get to 1984? So that's what leads me to believe. So time travel is involved in some way, shape, or form. And so did somebody time travel back to the moment he died and save him and bring him to 1984? So that, I think there's going to be a lot of questions. People are wondering about how he survived. And I'm curious to see what happens. But the fact that he is in 1984 leads me to believe there's a time travel element of some kind happening.
I do love me some time travel. I'm not going to lie. So I'm a little excited about this.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I like the 80s. It's a nice setting. The couple of images that they revealed so far have them like in a mall in the 1980s. So I think it'll be cool. I think it's going to add a different dynamic to Wonder Woman. And I like how they can kind of hop around and set those movies in different time periods.
Now, did you hear anything about they're making any cameos of the other Justice League members in this movie or no?
We haven't heard yet. But San Diego Comic-Con is coming up in about 3 weeks or so, a little bit more than 3 weeks, July 17th, in that vicinity. Warner Brothers will have a big presentation there. Wonder Woman 84 will be part of that presentation. So maybe they'll give us a little bit more details into that. We do know that Kristen Wiig, believe it or not, is playing the villain in the movie, a character called Cheetah, who is a character from the comics. And so that's all we really know about Wonder Woman 84. I'm curious to see if they bring in any of the other DC heroes, but I don't think so. I don't think they will. They didn't really do it in the first one. So we'll see, and that'll be coming out next November. We have Aquaman coming out this December. And beyond that, we don't really have concrete plans. They may be working on a Flash movie, maybe working on a Green Lantern movie, another solo Batman movie, but we haven't really gotten the concrete, here's what they're doing. I have a feeling at San Diego Comic-Con, DC will come out and say, look, here are the next few movies that you can look forward to. Here's exactly what we're doing. I hope at least that they do that.
So will there be a standalone Superman movie, though?
You know. Well, that's what we're waiting to hear. You know, I actually spoke to Henry Cavill a couple of months back, and I asked him what the situation is. And he says they're working on something, but they're just not ready to talk about it yet. So I think wheels are turning in that with all those characters. I mean, I think that it's safe to say that we will see Superman on the big screen again. It's just in what way? Will he have his own movie? Will he be teamed up with Batman again? Will he be teamed up with another character? We're not sure. But they're not going to just say no more Superman in movies, no more Batman. You know, these are some of the most beloved characters on the planet, and they will definitely be in more movies. It's just a matter of what movies will they be in.
I love that actors tease these movies. And Chris Pratt, he actually teased Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and he said that it might be a prequel. Do you think he just said that so he wouldn't give any spoilers for Infinity Wars?
Yes, I think he just said that so he wouldn't give any spoilers. Because, the next Avengers movie is really going to dictate what the future movies will be. And so I think that they can't really say anything because they don't want to, anything that they say could ruin the next Avengers movie and the storyline and what happens. Will they be taking place on alternate timelines in other universes? You know, I think that the new Ant-Man movie that's coming out, I think, is going to open up the door a little bit in terms of giving people some answers to some of the things that they saw in Infinity War. And I think it'll give us an idea of the direction that they're going in terms of how they're going to wrap this whole thing up in the next year's Avengers movie.
Is there any information about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
Just that it's happening. and it's being written right now by Mr. James Gunn. They're going to, I believe they'll probably start production on that pretty within the next few months, probably by the fall. I know that the second Spider-Man movie just reveals the title. It's going to be called Spider-Man Far From Home, and that goes into production in London this summer.
Okay, so I'm a little excited about this movie. Is Legally Blonde 3, and it's supposed to be released in 2019. But I always thought I liked this movie. It was kind of a crappy movie, but why is it so popular, Legally Blonde?
You know, I don't know. I think it's kind of like a fish out of water, unexpected romantic comedy. You know, Reese Witherspoon, I think that we're in an age right now where audiences want to see some of those old familiar romantic comedies come back. You know, I think that we've seen the trailers for fun romantic comedies do really well. And I think that, you know, Legally Blonde was a very, you know, memorable kind of romantic comedy that lived on video and is very quotable, sort of the Clueless era. And I think that, you know, she wants to give it a shot, you know. I mean, it's all on her. I think that it's I think it's fun. I think it's the name recognition for it will help it go a long way. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that want to catch up with that character and see where she's at now.
You're right about memorable quotes, because I just thought in my head immediately the bend and snap.
Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to it. I think that romantic comedies in general need to come out more and maybe do some different things, because I feel like that genre is kind of hanging on by a thread. And I'd like to see the romantic comedy genre come out with some success. You know, we have a fun one coming up with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder called Destination Wedding. That looks really cute, about these two people who don't like each other that wind up at the same wedding, and all kinds of shenanigans happen. And it looks really cute. Now, we just don't see, you know, romantic comedies like that much anymore, and so it's refreshing when one comes about.
All right, now, one of the things I've been looking at is Transformers 7. It's officially canceled, or is that a lie?
I don't know if it's officially canceled just yet. You know, I think we have a Bumblebee movie that's coming out in December, and I think the success of that will really give them an indication of where to take this franchise. You know, there's talk of an Optimus Prime movie, and maybe they won't, maybe the idea here is to, you know, some of these big, epic, you know, robot movies where there's tons of robots, maybe they're not as appealing to people, but if you take one of the, if you take these big characters like Bumblebee and Optimus Prime and you just do a movie about them that's a bit smaller and a bit more intimate, then maybe that's the way to go. So Bumblebee, I think, will dictate very much so what the future of the Transformers series looks like.
Now, I know we talked about it last time that Solo wasn't that bad of a movie, but it didn't do as well as they hoped in the box office. And because of that, now Boba Fett and Obi-Wan standalone movies, they're being put on hold. What do you think would change to bring those movies back out?
Well, I think they're still being worked on. Maybe I think they're kind of regrouping and figuring out, okay, was this the best strategy for Solo? You know, I think that when you don't absolutely destroy at the box office with a Han Solo movie, you know, you would think that of these spin-off movies, Han Solo would be the character that would do the best. And so I think they have to take a hard look at what are these movies, what should they be, when should they come out. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that those movies aren't going to happen. I just think that they're going to kind of regroup now and say, okay, Solo wasn't the hit that maybe we wanted it to be, so how do we make these movies, and how do we make movies that people really want to see and really engaging? So, you know, I'm curious to see what they decide. I think that they are going to focus a little bit more on the final Star Wars movie in this trilogy, the Skywalker saga, which comes out not this December, but the following, and then go from there and say, okay, you know, they've got the Game of Thrones writers that are creating a new movies. They have Rian Johnson, who did The Last Jedi, he's working on a new trilogy. So I think that they may want to invest more in those movies than they want to do the spin-off movies. And maybe, you know, maybe it's a little bit too much Star Wars for people. Maybe they need to have these movies be a little bit more distant from the previous installment, you know. Marvel can put out 3 movies a year, no problem. But maybe Star Wars can't. And I think that that's what they need to kind of figure out. What is Star Wars, and how much of it do people want to see?
Do you think they misinterpreted the popularity of Han Solo, and they instead it wasn't the character but just Harrison Ford that people liked?
I don't know about that. I think the character was really popular. I think I would, you know, I think it's a smart move to make a movie about Han Solo. You know, to see his origins is something that I was interested in. I really liked the movie. I thought it was really entertaining. I love Lando, Donald Glover as Lando. So I don't think it was a misstep. I think it was the right decision to make the movie. I think a couple of things may have hurt it. Timing may have hurt it. You know, I think if it would have come out in December or November, maybe it would have had a little bit more distance from these two other giant blockbusters that came out right before it with Avengers and Deadpool. You know, sometimes timing is everything. Sometimes, you know, timing will have a movie underperform, and then people ask all these questions about why it underperformed, you know, and what it was it about the movie. But the movie was a good movie. It was fun. It was entertaining. So I think that, I don't necessarily think they made a mistake in making the movie. I think it was a smart move to make the movie.
Now, Hereditary, A Quiet Place, those were huge successes. And now we're going to have Predator, The Nun, Halloween 2, It 2. Do you think the horror movie genre is going to have a comeback now?
Well, I think the horror movie genre has been kind of on an upswing for a few years now. I think that in indie horror has been really big. I think original horror has been really big, you know, and now we're starting to see some of these franchise new spins on them, like Predator, like Halloween. So I definitely think, you know, horror has a huge audience, a massive audience, and we see it on our social media pages at Fandango. The horror movies perform exceptionally well. And so we know that there's a desire out there to see horror movies. It's just, I think people want to see good horror movies. And I think people especially want to see good original horror movies. And so that's why I think A Quiet Place performs so well. That's why Hereditary is causing a lot of buzz, you know, because they're just different. They're not what we're used to seeing. I'm hearing really great things about the Purge movie that's coming out in early July. It's kind of like a reboot of the Purge movies. You don't have to have seen the other ones to enjoy it. You know, the It movie just did phenomenally well. This Halloween movie that's coming out looks really cool. So I think as long as they make good horror movies, you know, whether or not they're connected to franchises or not, I think people are going to go see them, and people are going to be excited to go see them. So I definitely think that the horror genre could make some big splashes, maybe even in awards. You know, I know Toni Collette is exceptional in this movie Hereditary. I mean, she deserves to be in the awards conversation, and I wouldn't be surprised if come the end of the year there are definitely some small campaigns out there for her, trying to get her into the awards conversation, because, you know, some of these performances we're seeing in these horror movies are really good, too.
You know, when it comes to horror movies, I think it's the only genre where even the horror B-movies can sometimes be good.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's a movie like that out now called Upgrade, which is a smaller movie. I would call it like a B-movie, midnight movie. But it's really good, and it's crazy, and it's wicked and violent and fun to watch. Another original idea. I dug it a lot, you know. I definitely think, you know, they're also good late night in a packed house. Those are some of my favorite times to see a horror movie, are these midnight movies, you know, at film festivals when it's a packed house, it's at midnight, everybody's got that kind of, you know, that second wind that they're plowing through, and there's scares and there's oohs and there's ahs. I went to the premiere of A Quiet Place at South by Southwest, and it was so cool just to be in a sold-out house watching that movie. You could hear a pin drop. And, you know, those are always the best experiences, I think.
So, in your opinion, for July, what movie should we be looking out for?
I definitely think Ant-Man and the Wasp is one. That's the next Marvel movie. If you want some answers to Infinity War, definitely see that. You know, I'm a big Mission Impossible guy. So I have to say Mission Impossible Fallout is one to go watch. You know, I'm actually going to Paris to cover that press junket and interview all of those people in that movie right after the 4th of July. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell you if it's good or not, but I love the Mission Impossible movies. I think they're just the perfect summer movies, a little bit of everything, a little bit of humor, a little bit of heart, a lot of action. Tom Cruise pulling off these crazy stunts. Always worth seeing. So I like that. Also, for families, the Teen Titans movie is one that I want to recommend. You know, I had a lot of parents asking me about Deadpool. And, you know, their kids, Deadpool infiltrates the elementary schools, the middle schools. You know, kids are coming home, I want to see Deadpool. But it's R-rated, so you can't really take your young kids to see Deadpool. Teen Titans, I feel like, is like the family-friendly answer to Deadpool. It's, it's also very superheroes, DC superheroes. It's like the sidekicks. It's like their story. But it's irreverent. It's got a lot of jokes about DC. It's got a lot of jokes about Marvel. But it's family-friendly. And so Teen Titans is a movie that I would also highly recommend.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can find me on Fandango, where you can buy your movie tickets, and also on Twitter, at Eric Davis, Eric with a K, if you want to follow all of my daily adventures.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.